Hi, and welcome to the Planantial Podcast. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and also a CFP, which is a Certified Financial Planner, and the creator of the online Planantial classes, which can be found at www.planantial.com. And I'm here today with my guest, Taylor.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about her finances.
Can't wait.
So, Taylor, give us an overview of what you make, how you make it, so we can get an idea of, you know, your financial situation.
Okay. So, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I am a elementary, teacher in New York State, and I make $63,000 a year.
Good. Yeah. Okay. So you're an elementary school teacher in the New York State school system.
Yes.
Which is great because you get a pension.
The golden ticket.
Yeah, the golden ticket, exactly. No, most people don't get pensions. And for those of you who are listening who don't know what that is, that's after so many years of service with the same employer, and it's more common with government and school districts. They give you money when you retire, a set amount, for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Helpful.
It's so helpful. And most people don't get pensions these days.
Yeah. So, and it depends on...
It depends on what tier you're in.
Exactly.
Usually. And so do you know what tier you are?
Tier six.
Okay. So that is then going to change how they, every tier is different on how they calculate your benefit.
And it's also when you started teaching in the public school system.
Okay. So how long have you been in the system?
Oh boy.
It sounds like I'm asking you how long you've been in jail.
Jeez.
Right? How long have you been officially in the system?
Well, you know, it's all relative. No, that's so mean. I started teaching when I first got out of college. So I would have to say 2009, I think.
Oh, yeah. Give me a rough estimate of your age. Some people don't say the exact number. They say
that's
late.
Okay. I don't mind saying.
Okay.
I'm 31.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so right when you graduated college, you went and did your first year.
Yeah, I got a position, so I got in at that tier.
And it's hard to get into the school district, right?
Yeah, it is. And even if you start out as a substitute teacher, you get into the system.
Oh, so that counts as credit?
It does. Okay. It, very minimal credit, but it does get you in and locked into a tier.
Okay.
So that's...
Is that how you got in?
A positive.
Or did you get a full-time position right out of the
gate? No, I got a full-time leave replacement, so I got in, a teacher had left.
Oh.
And
okay.
I had done my student teaching in that school, so luckily I got in.
Oh, great.
Right away. But that position didn't last. I mean, it lasted for the rest of the year. So I got into the system, and then I started substitute teaching afterwards.
Okay.
And
because that position ended at the end of the school year, because did that teacher come back, or are they just...
Yeah, they did come back.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a medical leave replacement.
Got it.
So I got in, then I got out. I substitute taught for a while, and then decided to take a life break.
Oh, a life break.
Yeah.
I like life breaks.
I went traveling.
Fun. Where did you go?
I went out to the West. I went to New Mexico and Colorado. Loved it there.
And how long were you out there?
On and off for about 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then did you teach out there?
I did not. I tried to. But also the overall teacher salary out in those states are much lower.
Oh, compared to New York State?
Yeah. So I came back and all of my connections were here. So I came back and...
So did you just like, were you... I would say Colorado, maybe ski bum.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it was great. Like,
that's fantastic.
If I could live off of a nanny salary for the rest of my life.
Were you a nanny?
Oh, yeah. Kids have to be.
Well, you like kids, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so
which
we worked
is why
out.
You teach little kids.
And skiing and all those fun things.
Yeah. So that's great, though. So you got in, locked yourself in a tier.
Mm-hmm.
So you were officially in the system and had service credit.
Yes.
So you were tier six rather than being, I don't know, do they have tier seven now?
Oh, probably.
Probably.
I'm not
sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know off the top of my head. And then you took a break.
I did. And then I came back and got back into the subbing.
Now, did you have your master's, right?
I didn't have my master's then.
Okay.
Is
it required?
It is in the long run.
Okay.
Yes. So I did get my master's. And I finished that 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I'm set with my education.
With your education component. Right. Okay. But so sorry to take you off on a tangent there.
Okay.
So 2 years out in Colorado, New Mexico, life break, not career position, just made money to survive and enjoyed yourself.
Having fun before, you know, settling.
Before settling into this pension paying.
Yes.
Was it nerve wracking when you got the job and you're like, oh, I need to do this for 20 plus years to get the pension? Is that what?
No. Okay. I think, well, this is a job that I've always wanted. So it's like, what else would I do? You know, I just got to like settle down and hunker down and know that I'm in a position rather than nannying that would set me up for the future.
Perfect. Okay. So you came back after 2 years and then you were able to get a full-time.
I bounced around.
Okay.
I did some subbing and then looking for jobs anywhere I could find one. I landed a charter school job.
Okay. Now, what's the difference between a charter school and the state school system?
Many things. But long story short, your experience and your time being at a charter school does not add to...
Doesn't count towards your pension, your credits, right?
Right. It's basically... It's almost like... It's like a private school. You just... It doesn't add to... It doesn't accrue time to your pension, to the years that would go into a regular public school job.
Got it.
Every year you're in a public school job, you bump up a level, or some people call it like a stage or a step.
Okay, they step you up salary-wise,
mm-hmm,
right?
And then
every year. And you get another credit for your pension.
Right, and if you do change school districts, public school districts, you take those steps with you.
They go with you.
So when I got hired for the position that I'm at now, I started at step two.
Okay.
Because I had a year experience at my first job right out of college.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
So that's...
And they count those credits, right? When your first year working out of school counted as 1 year towards your pension?
Or about
half a year?
Yes. And then also if you have your master's degree, that's another step.
Okay,
so it's an intricate system, but my year at the charter school did not count.
Right, because that's almost like going back to corporate America.
Yeah.
It's out of that system, out of that school system.
So I'm really happy where I'm at, thankfully, and I feel really lucky and hoping each year I'm like looking at that step and I'm like, come on, you know?
So
looking good.
So how many years, do you know how many years you need in your system to get the full pension? Have you looked at that? I mean, I know it's a ways away, but do you have an idea?
I think it's 30.
Is it 30
now? I'm
pretty
sure, yeah.
I feel like some places it's usually between 20 and 30 years.
Right, and it also depends on what you want to get out of it.
Yep.
20 years, I think, gets you health insurance.
Okay.
Locked in. But you don't get your full
pension.
Pension.
Yeah, right. It's usually so many. Usually, the way they do it is a combination of how many years you have in the system plus how old you are.
That's true too.
Right. Because so 20 years from now you'll be 51.
Right.
Which would be too young typically in
a
pension.
And I think
system.
It's like 65 or 68. I don't know. I feel like
they keep pushing. Yeah, they keep pushing. They do keep pushing it back. I feel like if you were tier one, it was probably 55 in 20 years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can't teach with like a walker. So
yeah. Maybe it'll push it down. It's good though because it should align, which is I know so far away from now, but it should align with what your Social Security age would be, and then you'll have both of those.
I mean, I'm definitely looking to put in 30 years, so that would put me at 60 since I started last year, and even beyond that. But
perfect, and it's great to love your job.
Yeah, I'm really fortunate. So
we don't have. I meet with besides the podcast, I meet with lots of people, and it's not. I would say it's like a 50-50. Shot if the person's going to like their job or not.
50-50.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like a lot of people don't like their job and are doing it because it pays the bills and they can get to retirement faster because of the income. But
well, absolutely. I mean, you have to. I think that's something that I realized when even I'm glad I have this job, but before when I was like free spirited, I'm going to go wander and realizing wandering doesn't pay the bills.
No, that's true.
So, you know, and I remember my mother just being like, okay, I think it's time to go do your career now. So
time to get that career position and work towards that end goal.
Yeah, and school loans, when they're in deferment, you don't really have to think about them. But the reality is they're going to come and bite you. And
yeah, especially if they're in deferment and accruing interest.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
I didn't realize. When I was like having fun and figuring it out, wasn't really thinking about it. And now I'm seeing all the interest rack up and my total loan amount. And I'm like, that's a good thing I have a job.
So, yes, when you were out being a free spirit, you deferred them. And I'm sure they did not send you a, like, warning note being like, while you're deferring, we are still charging you interest.
They didn't, like, I wish I got a letter that was like, congratulations on your life choices. Don't worry about your school loans. So, they're more like, good thing. Like, all right, take as much time off as you want.
Because we're going to keep charging you.
Yeah. So I have...
Now, do you have school loans from undergrad and your master's?
I do. I have...
So when you were taking a life break, you only were deferring your undergrad?
I deferred it for a short period of time, but then I did realize that was a mistake. So I continued to pay them.
Oh, good.
I didn't defer them that long. I have about $4,000 in my undergrad left, which...
That's great.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing a good job with it.
Yeah, so that's... I feel like I'm dwindling that down into something reasonable that I can hopefully pay off in the next year or two. And then my graduate degree racked up $25,000.
Okay.
So
that's the bigger one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
and do you know who has your loans and what interest rates you're paying and all that jazz?
Oh, I do. Am I allowed to say?
Yeah, you are definitely allowed to say.
My undergrad is through Navient.
Okay.
And my graduate degree is through Great Lakes.
Okay. And do you know where your interest rates are? Mm-hmm. Oh, did you write it all down for me?
Oh, I'm prepared.
Did you listen to the other podcast?
Yes, of course everything? I did. I had to know. On my sticky note, okay. My Navient is 6.8%.
Ooh.
Mm. And my Great Lakes are in different increments. The highest is 6.2.
Good. So you know that when they give you that one payment, it's usually not comprised of just one loan. But that's,
right. So, but three.
But three.
Yes.
And some people have more than three. So it's good that you looked.
Yeah. So I have one at 5.8 and okay. My last one's at 5.3.
Perfect. And the first one is at
6.2.
Okay. And do you know how your payment is? So what are you paying a month for your loans?
I pay, the Navient is at $140
okay.
a month, and then the Great Lakes total to 310.
Wow. Mm. Okay. So between 310 and 140, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's...
So almost 500 a month.
Yeah. When we really talk about it.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Because tell me, so you said your gross salary is $63,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then so what are you bringing home after the pension? And
health insurance.
And health insurance. And are you putting into the work retirement plan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
My take home is about $3,000.
$3,000.
Maybe
$3,200. A month.
Yeah, a month.
Okay, now do you get paid all summer, or is this over 10?
So there's two different options with teachers. You can get paid a 10-month salary, yep. or technically a 12-month salary. The 10-month salary is a higher amount in each paycheck.
Yep, but then you don't get paid all summer.
Right. I opt for the 12-month.
It's easier to budget, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm terrible at budgeting, so this is how I budget.
Forced budgeting.
Yeah, right. So in June, so you get paid a lesser amount okay. in each paycheck, and then in June, you actually get a lump sum.
Oh, and then
for July and August.
Got it. Okay.
So, and that is how I budget for the summer.
So you have that money and you're like, okay, I need this to last through September.
Yeah. And last year it worked out really well.
Oh, good. Because so that's tricky. I actually had a job where I got paid monthly.
Ooh,
yeah. And I found that to be tricky.
Yeah.
Because you get everything in the beginning of the month rather than
mm-hmm. And twice it's a month. Good chunk of change. It's a couple $1,000s that I budget for. Like once I get the check, I break it down. I'm like, okay, here's July. Here's right. August, and actually, here's covering a little bit of September
because you have to start oh, back yeah. in the system before you get that first paycheck.
Yes. So you have to just, I'm good at managing that in respect to knowing what my bills are,
okay,
how to cover them, and then what's the
and
extra.
How to break down the money.
Yeah.
Okay. So about almost 500 a month mm-hmm. in student loans, we round up
yes.
about 450. And then what's your rent? Are you renting? Or
I am renting. Okay. My rent right now is $1,100.
Okay.
Everything is included.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Now, do you have roommates?
I don't.
Oh.
But I live in a little one-bedroom apartment.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. That's
no.
perfect.
No. Off-street parking? Hello.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So I found that place. That's my current situation. My rent eventually will go up next year.
Okay.
Because I'm moving somewhere else. But okay. everything being included has been helpful. In the rent that I'm paying now.
Okay, so you have $1,100.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, $1,100.
$1,100 with everything included. Then we have the $450, give or take.
$500.
Yeah. About $500 for your student loans.
Okay.
And then what? Any other big bills?
Yeah, I have a credit card payment that is about.
How much is your credit card payment?
My credit card payment, I round up. So I pay about $100. Yeah, I pay about $100 a month in that.
Okay, and how much is on that? Do you know?
Mm. Oh, my parents are going to listen to this. This is terrible.
No, we don't have to. Don't tell them. Don't tell them.
Oh, yeah, I've already told them. I think this is hilarious. It's going to be, it's about $3,000.
Okay, so $3,000.
Yes.
And was that from like a vacation or something fun or do you know?
No.
An emergency?
Yes.
An emergency.
Emergencies when I have no money.
The yes. emergency, I'm out of funds.
Right.
Okay.
So that's just under $3,000.
Okay. And do you know what the interest rate is on that?
No.
That's a good one to look too. So,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Most people don't look. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't want to know.
Ignorance can be bliss.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So you want to look at that one too. You want to see what your interest rate is on that because maybe what you could do on that one is, depending on what the interest rate is, you could always try and transfer to a 0%, and then you'd be able to pay it off a bit quicker, depending on what that interest is. Okay. That interest could potentially be higher than what you're paying on your student loans.
Oh.
I know. Just depends on what card it is.
Capital One.
Capital One. I don't know their rate.
No hassle. Yeah, right.
Hold on, let me go through my brain and see what the rate is. Okay. No, I don't know that one off the top of my head, but it's better than, to be honest, it's better. The ones that are really, really high usually are the retail ones.
Oh, yeah, I avoid those.
Okay,
at all costs.
Good. Yeah, definitely want to avoid those. They're like, oh, you can sign up and get 10%. It's like, no, you're gonna charge me 25.
I fall for a lot of things. Those I don't fall for.
That's good. A lot of people fall for those.
Okay.
But yeah, so take a look at that credit card and see what your interest rate is. It's just a good idea to see, because like with your student loan, maybe you put an extra, rather than rounding up to 500, maybe put a little extra on the credit card.
Got it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay. So credit card, student loans, rent, and then...
And last thing is I bought a car.
Oh. So. Well, you're now, so just so we're clear for the listeners, but you're not in the city. So a car is necessary to get back and forth to work.
It is. I'm in the Hudson Valley, so you basically have to drive everywhere.
You have to drive everywhere.
Yeah.
There's very little walking.
Oh, no. And so I bought a car in... October. Okay. And I bought it for about $20,000.
Okay.
So I really lucked out on it.
Now, did you put money down?
I did not.
Okay.
I went through a financing deal? I went through a federal credit union.
Good.
So for
people who are listening, credit unions are different than banks because credit unions are non-for-profit.
Yes. I am a member of that bank.
Well, what?
Rather than a customer.
Yeah, you're a member of that credit union, right, which is very different than being a customer of a bank. And so they usually have really good deals on car loans.
They do.
It's always, if you are investigating getting a loan, it's always a good idea to take a look at a credit union if you are a member or consider joining a credit union to see what they offer.
Yeah. And the interest, which I'm looking up right now on my car, was much less than if I had gone to a regular bank.
Oh, definitely.
So that was something when I was
shopping around.
I was so daunted by the whole car buying experience. That was something that helped out a lot, knowing that the Federal Credit Union was right there. And they were very helpful.
That's great. Yeah, I really always urge people to take a look at credit unions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would always suggest that. And they also, the dealership, they were willing to help me finance, but that's also another free.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So I owe just under $18,000 on the car.
Okay, great.
So.
And then, so what's your monthly payment on that?
My monthly payment is $293.
Perfect.
And I pay $100 a month in car insurance.
Okay.
So that's another $400.
And I think we had chatted a little bit before we started when we were getting the audio set up, but you have it set up really efficiently with your pay.
Yes.
So what do you do?
I have my paycheck go into two different bank accounts.
Perfect.
Not split evenly. I have $300 each paycheck. I get paid twice a month.
Okay.
Go into the Federal Credit Union account. And that specifically pays for the car and the insurance.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
So out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. So I did that because just to have that off my plate because I'm paying the school loans anyway. And just to know that.
And that's auto pay, right?
Yeah.
So it goes right out of your paycheck, right into that account, auto pay, no issues.
No, not so far.
That's great. That was a good idea.
Thanks, Barb.
You're welcome. I like that a lot. Then you don't have to worry about that. So in terms of budgeting, what you have coming in, about $3,000 a month, we have $1,100 going out for rent, $450, $500 going out for student loans, $400 for the car. So you have about $1,000 wiggle room for the rest of the month. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, somehow that seems more than what I actually feel.
It feels like less.
Yeah.
Well, because you also probably have a cell phone?
Oh yeah, I have. Yes.
Yeah. That's another one of those.
Oh yeah, my lovely smartphone costs me $130 a month.
I know, they're so expensive. Do you pay for cable? That's another bill that people.
I don't.
Good, thank goodness.
So
that's a bill that can be surprisingly expensive.
Yeah, I happily share that with my parents. I think they know that.
So do you just log into their account?
Oh,
that's
and
perfect.
I mean, honestly, I feel like where the world is going right now, just in technology, like you don't have to have a cable bill. I mean, the internet is the
right
part of it. But if you can get away with it, and my internet's included in the rent.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's
Is it like for the whole building?
I live in an old house. Okay. And the house is split into two. And my landlord is there part time. And so he has internet. So,
anyway.
Uh huh.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's a good situation that I'm in. So I don't have to worry about that bill.
Because internet, yeah, usually if you're not getting the cable, they kind of really.
Right.
They creep up the internet price.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it works out to just kind of stream in off my laptop. Whatever. Perfect. I want to watch.
Whatever you want to watch.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, so the big bills are car, which all necessities. So your car, your rent, it covers everything, including mm-hmm. internet, which is amazing. Your student loans, a little bit of a credit card.
Yeah, so I think, like, if I had to really break it down, I think my take home for groceries and fun yep. is maybe, like, 800?
800, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So about 200 a week. Give or take.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot.
Right. Now, now really breaking it down.
I know.
That's true.
Because now you have gas, too.
Yes. And I commute.
Right.
So I, I think my car, I fill up my gas tank every 6 days.
Okay.
And so that's $30.
Right.
At the moment.
So do you feel strapped or do you feel like you're making it? How's it feel?
I'm just making it. I'm living on the line, man.
You're living on the edge.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Does it stress you out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. But I have such good taste. I love good wine and I love good food. I love going out. But
have you thought about doing anything to maybe like get an extra $100 or $200 a month?
I have, but I also love my time. I mean, I really teaching, I'm so tired by the end of the day and my weekends are so precious that I know a lot of teachers have second jobs. I'm fortunate enough that I can get by without
having one. You're just getting
by,
right.
Right. So I'm trying to avoid it at the moment.
Okay.
Do you want me to pick up a second job, Barbara?
I'm not saying you need to pick up a second job. But what I'd like to do, because we always like to do for certain folks that come on, a 6-month follow-up.
Oh, yes.
So I'd like to take a look at your loans and see if we could tackle them a little bit sooner. It seems like you're making good progress because you knocked off most of your undergrad. We only have $4,000 left on that.
Yeah.
And then you have the $25, give or take, for your grad school. So I'd be interested to see, because now, what type of teacher are you?
I'm an art teacher.
Ooh. So do you ever sell any art or anything on the side?
I have in the past, and that's definitely a possibility. That's not... Oh, Barbara. That's a lot of time. I mean, in any job, in any, making any money, you know, you have to put in the time.
Oh, absolutely.
And time is money.
Time is money.
So, I mean, honestly, like...
But you're now... So you said you get automatic bumps. So next year, you're going to get a bump. Is that
yes,
correct?
I get a $2,000 bump.
Oh, okay. Perfect. So maybe what
so
we...
So in 6 months.
So maybe what we can do is see how we use that bump. Because what I'd love to see you do is get rid of that... If we can get rid of your credit card, that extra $100 a month can go towards a principal-only payment on your student loans.
That's true.
And that would make a big difference.
Yeah, that's... That could be significant.
Yeah, that would be. It will be significant.
I would really love to get rid of the credit card.
I think the key is going to be seeing if you can do a balance transfer. And sometimes they charge you for that, but then it gives you 12 up to 18 months of 0% interest. So that monthly payment you're paying on the credit card will go so much farther because you won't be paying interest. You'll just be paying what
so
you
great.
Owe.
Right. Yeah, because the interest is insane.
Yeah.
That would I mean, like if I give $100, I'm really like,
you're not
how much am I giving that in interest? More than half.
Oh, definitely. Oh, and it just depends on what the interest rate is. You could be doing $100 a month and only 80 is 80 is covering the interest and $20 is going towards the principal amount.
Yes.
So that is what I say. I think it's great that you get these bumps. Now, you said your living situation is going to change.
It is. So this whole conversation about having internet included is, you know.
It's only good for, it's a temporary, it's expiring
yeah,
soon.
As we talk about that and, you know, everyone's like, oh man.
That's the dream.
Oh yeah. Well, the dream is coming to an end. I am moving this summer into an apartment that.
Oh, this summer, that's soon.
Yes. So in 6 months when we catch back up, things will be different. I'm moving into an apartment that is going to be $1,200 a month.
Okay.
With utilities. Not included.
Not included. Okay.
Right. So it's going to be it's a step up in terms of where I'll be living.
Okay. Is it going to be closer to work?
No. It's going to be farther.
Okay.
So I'll be getting gas probably every like 5 days.
Oh no. Okay.
But I'm making the move. With the intention of moving in with my boyfriend. So actually, that's going to...
Ooh.
Right. So...
Ooh, I like this. No selling, no selling art on the side.
Right. Oh, I have big plans, actually. I'm saving money, Barbara. But that's not until the summer.
That's not until the summer. Okay, so perfect. So in the summer, when you guys move in together, so it's going to be 1,200 plus utilities, but you're splitting it?
Yeah, it's going to be something like that, yeah.
Ooh.
So.
And you're getting a raise.
And I'm getting a raise, and then I can pay off my credit card.
Yes. Oh, I really like this. Because you could, if you could get that to a 0% APR card, and then it's not accruing interest between now and the summer, and then when you move in and you save, you're going to save, let's say, roughly, what, $500 a month?
Yeah.
Hopefully. You could knock off that credit card in a couple months. And then
I need that out of my life.
Yeah, that needs to get out of your life. Right. You don't want you dragging that credit card around with you forever.
No, because that $100 a month, I mean, in the end, I'm never actually seeing the credit card
to go down. No, it's not making it. It's not doing anything.
Right. And then in the emergencies that I need, you know, I'll put like gas on that card. Like it's just so stagnant and a little shadow.
Right. And you don't want to be paying interest on gas.
No. I know.
Or on food.
It's because you have, for emergencies.
It's for emergencies. So here, I have an idea. Okay. So I think when you move in with the boo, that's about when we'll do our 6-month follow-up, it seems like.
Okay.
Yeah. Give or take.
Perfect.
Okay. So look into maybe doing a balance transfer on that credit card.
Okay.
So that at least it's not accruing interest between now and then. Mm-hmm. And then once you move in with him, you're not going to increase your lifestyle quite yet. I know, no. Sad face, but we could get rid of the credit card.
Right.
We could maybe take what you're putting on the credit card and put that towards a student loan, like an extra $100-$150. That'll make a big difference on the student loan. And we'll go after the highest interest one first. And then you'll get more money back in your budget, but you'll have knocked away the credit card. You'll be making more progress on your student loans. And then what you could even do if you wanted to suck it up a little farther, a little more. I know you're looking at me like crazy, girl.
What are you going to say?
You could even just establish an emergency fund. So for the first 6 months after you get rid of the credit card, you could save an extra $400 a month that you'd be saving. So live on your same budget for the first 6 months of living together and then put that in the bank. And so then if there's an emergency, you have $2,000 sitting in cash, $2,400
sitting in cash. Oh, I totally need that. Because in the back of my mind, if there's an emergency or the car breaks down or anything, I have like $500 to cover my butt. And that's scary.
Right.
So, and I don't have the emergency credit card at the moment to back me up on that one either. Yeah. So.
Okay. So I love the idea of moving in with the boo. Yeah, this is too. a game. Well, it'll be super fun, but it'll also be a game changer financially.
I hope so.
I think so.
Yeah, it would be. And, getting rid of the credit card, tackling the Navient, which is the highest loan that I have.
$100 more a month on that, even $150 will make a big difference.
Now after talking to friends about student loans, if I pay off a student loan, though, they don't technically close it half the time. And that is infuriating. So it's almost like, what's really the point?
They're the worst. My last podcaster guest, Natasha, called them the evil empire.
Oh, jeez.
But I 100% agree. I think they're evil.
Well, they don't. So I was talking, you know, Natasha, the same. I kind of have the same feeling about Navient. And I see it as, what's the point in paying it off? Because they're not going to close my account. And they'll say, okay, I'll still accrue interest.
No. So what we're going to do is we're going to focus on paying that one down so that you pay it off. Once you pay off the entire amount and you have a zero balance, they can't have you accrue interest.
Okay.
But I know what you're saying. Because
scary myth.
It never goes away. Always with me.
Right, the boogeyman.
The boogeyman, Navient, just follows behind me always. No, so what happens is when you're making these payments now, it doesn't feel like, because the interest rate is so high and the way they're applying the interest and the principal amount, it doesn't seem like you're making progress. So it's still accruing interest and it doesn't feel like it's going down. But if we put a little bit more money towards it, which we can once you have a little more money in your budget with moving in with the boo and the raise, you'll see the effect of that payment. Because what we'll do is we'll make your regular monthly payment, which is principal and interest, and then we're going to make a separate payment that's principal only.
Right.
And then that will help it reduce. And then once you get that tackled, it's almost like a waterfall effect or a domino effect. So once that one falls and we get rid of it and it's zero, then we take the money we're paying towards that one and apply it to your next highest interest rate.
Okay.
And then you'll see the progress faster. So I think that this big life change you have coming up with the moving in and getting the raise will make a big difference in the budget. And so we can get you all the fun things I like to check off for people. So we can get you an emergency fund.
Oh, perfect.
I'm glad you're excited. Because most people hate that idea.
Hardcore adulting. I'm like, okay.
You're really adulting. Most people hate the idea of an emergency fund. They're like, well, it doesn't make any money.
No. I think it's like, honestly, a stress reliever. Just knowing that you have a small cushion.
It's exactly. So then you're driving and, oh my God, the car breaks down. You're not like, and how do I get it off the side of the road? I have no money.
My only problem would be making sure I don't touch that money for a flight to the Caribbean or something. Right.
So I think, So I think out of sight, out of mind would be a good idea.
Okay.
So
that's better.
Kind of like how you have it set up now where your car payment and your insurance goes right out of your paycheck as a separate payment into a separate account. I would do the same thing for the emergency fund.
And it's really, that to me is, that has been ideal because I do have a debit card for that account, mm-hmm. but I don't carry it with me.
Perfect.
So it's really I can't touch it.
So I would do that for your emergency fund. I would set up another, you can probably set up another line in there. And then I would have, once you move in and you start in September, I would have, we can figure out the amount, but $300 or $400 goes right in there. And then.
$300 or $400, maybe $100.
No, emergency fund.
Yeah, I know. That's a lot of money.
Okay, $250. Okay. Meet me in the middle. I say four, you say one. We'll do two.
Two.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's better to have something than nothing, and you can always
work on it. Oh, I totally agree.
But, so I think what we should do is, I think we should definitely do a 6-month follow-up.
Okay.
And then at that point, you'll have moved in with the boo.
Mm-hmm. And things will be much different. My numbers will hopefully be...
This is great.
Changed. Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because I was really, before you said that you're moving in with the boo, I was going to say maybe sell some art on the side and get an extra couple $100.
Yeah. Or you were going to say move in with a roommate and that wasn't going to happen.
I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to say that. I swear. I know.
I could see it in your eyes.
Why don't you take up a roommate?
No,
I was just going to say maybe sell some art on the side, but I think that you have really good income. It's just about making sure we get rid of the credit card, tackle your student loans a little bit, and get you an emergency fund. So then that way it never goes back on a credit card.
Absolutely.
But you're doing a great job. Thank and the fact that you have a pension, oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes, looming in my future.
You're looming in your future. It just means at the end of your career, you have that extra bonus, that extra money coming in. And what I've seen a lot with teachers retiring, and obviously they were different tiers, but generally with their Social Security and their pension, they could survive on just that without their own savings. Yeah. I still want you saving, but.
Which I intend to do. I think something also that has kind of triggered this newfound, let's be financially responsible, Taylor, is that once you hit 30, you realize it's not that far away, and I really do want to set myself up so that I am financially stable, so that I'm not stressing out.
Right.
And I just feel very fortunate that I can do that.
Absolutely. And as
you
said,
job that I have,
it would be great once we get all these other little things tackled to be able to say, okay, that $200 a month, now that we've got the emergency fund, the student loans are under control, that $200 a month is really for a flight every year.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that would be the dream.
That's the main goal. Come on.
No, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
So I definitely think we should do the 6-month follow-up.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions for me?
I think we have tackled all of them.
I think we've tackled everything. Yeah. You're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. I was worried that I was going to, at the end of this, I'd feel so exhausted, but I actually feel uplifted over this plan that we have.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah. That's my whole goal is to demystify money and make it easier because it doesn't have to be that complicated. I just think that no one explains it.
Right. And it's so scary if you just ignore it for a while.
It is. It's better not to ignore it.
Right. So trying to understand it and going through it step by step and breaking it down, in the long run, it is peace of mind.
Good. I'm glad.
So
that's my goal. Well, thank you for being on the show, Taylor.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And once again, this is the Planential Podcast. If you'd like to learn more, we have an online class that can be found at www.planential.com. We have a whole section on student loans because, as we talked about, they can be the evil empire.
Watch out.
Yeah, watch out for those. So we have a whole session on student loans and how you can tackle them. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.